Last Sunday evening, if you were here, I preached a message under the banner title, The Need to Be Different. The message last week was aimed primarily at unbelievers, and I said that this week I'd be speaking primarily to Christians. And that's not to say if you're not a Christian, I'm giving you permission to switch off. I want you to listen. But if you're a Christian believer this evening, this message is particularly aimed at you. And I want to speak under the heading, Believers Must Be Different. Now, this chapter that I've just read, it's quite a long reading, I know. But if we can't spend about 5 minutes reading God's Word on the Lord's Day in the Lord's house, well, shame on us. That chapter, it's a preacher's paradise. There's so many themes that you can dip into. So many themes that you can learn just from Nebuchadnezzar. But I want to concentrate very much on the second half of the chapter. I want us to look this evening at those three remarkable men who stood up to the face of that king. And I want to speak to you this evening under three headings. I want to talk to you first of all about faith employed. Then I want to talk to you about heaven's help deployed. And then I want to talk to you about God's grace enjoyed. Faith employed. I don't know whether you can picture the scene in your mind's eye. Imagine you're standing on a hill overlooking this plain of Jura, a flat piece of land, and there, glinting in the sunshine, is this gold column. If you've ever seen pictures of ruins in the Middle East, and you've seen these large columns of stone rising out of the sand, that's probably the kind of thing that was here, except it was covered in gold. 60 cubits by 6, so its height was 10 times its width. It was about 9 feet wide, 90 feet tall, covered in gold, shining in the sunshine. You'd have been able to see it for miles. And this huge throng of people have been summoned by the king. It gives you an idea the kind of civilization that Nebuchadnezzar was ruling. All those different levels of government officials. It was a really well-organized community and a nation. Quite an amazing thing. And all of these people who had any kind of high office, public high office, were being drawn in. You see Nebuchadnezzar's plan? All these public figures being drawn in to set an example to everybody else. The music is playing and everyone bows down, but not everyone. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Faith employed. It's okay to say you've got faith, but faith has to be put into action. James in the New Testament says, faith without works is no faith at all. As Christians, our faith must actively make a difference. Sometimes our faith will require us to act with great courage, because it will be necessary for us as believers to make a stand against certain things that we simply cannot go along with. Perhaps we are not far away from facing such days when we really will have to make a very public, noticeable stand against these kinds of things. For that to be the case, of course, it's important that we know and understand how we are to live. It's important to know what is acceptable behaviour and conduct for a Christian believer and what is not. Look at verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." These three young men knew, and that's partly what makes them so remarkable, they knew where they had to draw the line. Remember, these are the three young men who were with Daniel when, as they were being trained at Nebuchadnezzar's school, were offered food from the king's table, and they knew that they had to say no to it. It wasn't just Daniel that did that. These three men were there with him as well. There were many things that they could go along with as they were being educated in Babylonian ways. But sometimes it was time to make a stand. It was time to say no. And another time has arrived now for these three men. They've gone as far as they can, but the time has arrived when they can go no further. These are men who put faith into action. I wonder if we do, truly, as Christians. Do you know what it is that you are to believe, like these three men did? Do you know where you must draw the line as a Christian, like these three men did? Well, you might think, well, how do I know? Well, you need to know the Bible. Because in the Bible, you'll discover God's mind on these very things. And that's how you know as a Christian what's okay and what's not okay. Get into the Bible and find out. And having discovered it, you need to live it. Faith employed. There'll be many times when we have opportunity to do good, as we were reminded this morning in Galatians. Sometimes it's time to say no. Action is required. Charles Spurgeon said this: "A man's life is always more forcible than his speech." Up to now, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, as far as we're aware, haven't said anything. They've just done. A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as pounds, but his words only as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, the mass of onlookers will accept his practice, but reject his preaching. But it doesn't matter what you say to people. It's how you live that they will really notice and take note of. And if what you say and how you live are different, what they'll remember is how you live. And what you've said will just be discarded. I think Spurgeon's right. Sometimes it will be necessary to make a stand. Now, God never calls us to live recklessly, but he does call us to exercise faith. Exercising faith. There was a test done amongst 10 university students. The 10 of them were placed in a room, and there were three lines of various length drawn on a card. And someone was going to point at one of the lines, and they were instructed, when you see the person point at the longest of the three lines, raise your hand. Seems quite a simple thing to do. What one of them didn't know was that he'd been set up as a stooge. All the other nine had been planted, and they'd been told to put their hands up when the middle length line was pointed to. And this test was carried out over and over again, and the lines were pointed to, and the longest line would be pointed to, and the odd one out would... okay. And then look completely flummoxed as the middle line was pointed to, and all the other nine all raised their hands. And number 10, very bemusedly, raised their hand too. And in 75% of the cases, the one that was the stooge gave in to the pressure of the other nine. 75% of the time. You see, people would rather knowingly be wrong than be the odd one out. It's true. They would rather be wrong and know they're wrong than be the odd one out. That's what that test proved. You know that's true too. And as a Christian, you'll sometimes find yourself in a situation where you need to stand up and stand out. You need to decide, when you're put in that position, will you knowingly do what is wrong, or will you just go along with the crowd rather than be the odd one out? Sometimes our faith will require us to be the odd one out, and we know it, but will we be? These three young men understood that they were about to lean upon God and not find him lacking. Active faith. Faith employed. Verse 16. We have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, there's nothing to be discussed or debated here. We don't need to go away and think about this and take a vote amongst the three of us and see what we're going to do. This is the answer. We know precisely what we must do. And you see, those three men were at this point. God's truth and their faithful obedience were more important than their own welfare, even more important than their very lives. How about you? How important is God's truth to you? How important is remaining obedient to God's truth to you? There's no promise that the outcome will always be as we wish. Look carefully at what they say. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. There's two things being said there. Number one, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, but we can't be certain that he will. We know he's able to, but we know what he will do. He will deliver us from your hand. You, King Nebuchadnezzar, as a pagan man, worshipping idols, slaughtering innocents, you do not have power over us. We are gods. We belong to God. And he will deliver us from your hand. Now he's able to deliver us from the fire. Verse 18. But if not, nevertheless, let it be known, we do not serve your gods. We will not bow down and worship this image. Now, do you see the example that these men of God set for us? God is able. But even if he doesn't, that won't throw me off track. And he will deliver us from your hand. No matter how he does it, he may deliver us out of the fire and do it that way. He may allow us to be consumed, in which case you may have burnt our bodies, but we'll be with our God, and he'll have still delivered us from your hand. They understood, you see. They understood their position before God. This is true faith employed, true faith put into action. What an example these men are for us. There's no promise that the outcome will be as they wish it to be, but they rest upon the promises of God, and they are completely at peace over the whole issue. They're a great example. Faith in action. You see, they understood what the little boy trapped at the top of a burning house understood, as his father on the ground below shouted to him to jump. And the little lad said, "Daddy, I can't see you." To which his father replied, "That doesn't matter, son. I can see you. Jump." And that was their relationship with their God, you see. And they jumped. They jumped. Faith employed. Because Christians must be different. But you see, we're not left alone. We've been looking at this in the New Testament, and we have an example of it here. Heaven's help deployed. Into the furnace they go. So hot that even the men throwing them into the furnace are burned to death by the fire. Verses 24 to 25. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Did we not cast three men into the fire? I see four, and they're loose, and the flames haven't touched them. Who is this fourth man? Like the Son of God. There's a reason why he was like the Son of God. It's because he was. Heaven's help is deployed to the believer. Do you believe that? What's that really awkward situation you face right now? Heaven's help is deployed to the believer. What's that really hard choice that you have to make that perhaps will make you be the odd one out and be different? Heaven's help is deployed for the believer. We've been seeing in Galatians that we're in Christ. By the Spirit, Christ is in me. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. That's your position. If we ever get any sunny days during the rest of the summer, some people will observe the little boy who's built his sandcastle, he's dug his moat around it, and off he toddles down to the water's edge with his bucket to get some water for his moat. And he dips his bucket into the sea. And his bucket is in the sea. And the sea has filled his bucket. Think about it. Can you see him in your mind's eye? His bucket is in the sea. And his bucket is full of the sea. That's you in Christ. You're in Christ, and Christ is in you. Heaven's help has been deployed. You have God's Spirit within you. Every Christian has the Spirit of God within. And He is our help. He has been given to you by God the moment that you were first converted. He gave Him to you. And He leads you and guides you. He leads you into truth so that you can read and understand the Word. He speaks to your conscience and convinces you of God's truth. And He enables you to live the way you should live. Because heaven's help has been deployed. And as surely as the Son of God was walking in the midst of that fire with those three men, He's with you, Christian believer. And no matter what difficulty God may take you into, no matter how difficult a stand He asks you to take, here is the promise for you. Heaven's help has been deployed. Now the great thing for us, and we probably fail to realise this, is that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they were actually had to go in the fire, and then they actually saw heaven's help deployed. It was visible to them. Some of you might be thinking, oh, but what if he hadn't turned up? Well, no such doubts, because the Spirit is in you now. Heaven's help has already been deployed. You don't have to wait till that crisis strikes and hope that it will happen. It's already there. You have that help within you right now. God has given you everything that you need in order that you can face that difficulty, that trial, whatever it might be, and you can stand strong in Christ's strength, not in your own, because you have the help of heaven that has been deployed on your behalf for you. You see, if we will employ our faith the way it's meant to be employed, if we will rely upon that which has been deployed from heaven and placed within us in order that we can live the way we should, then we will truly enjoy God's grace. What was the result for these three men? Nebuchadnezzar calls them out, verse 26. Look at the words on his lips. Servants of the Most High God. And out they come. And these three men walk out of this furnace, not a single hair singed, not even the smell of smoke on their clothes. We've had a few barbecues recently, we've had some decent weather. The first thing that happens is your clothes go in the wash because they just stink of barbecue. They don't even smell of smoke. Maybe some of them got really close and had a... don't even smell of it. It's like they've never even been there. God's grace enjoyed. God's grace. And even if they'd been burnt up in the fire, what then? Instant heaven. God's grace. Paul would have said, even better. The Apostle Paul would have said, these three actually got the worst choice, the worst option. They survived the fire. Would have been even better to be burned alive and get to heaven straight away. God's grace enjoyed. We can enjoy God's grace. It's full of goodness towards us. Christian believers, we need to be different. The Prussian king, Frederick the Great, he was an agnostic. He had no time for Christian things. But he had a general whose name was von Zeeland. He was one of his most trusted officers, and he, in contrast to King Frederick the Great, was a devout believer. They were having a festive gathering, and the king began making very crude jokes about Christ. And the jokes got worse and worse, until eventually everyone sat around the table was just rocking with laughter. The tears were streaming down their faces. Except one man, General von Zeeland, did not see the funny side. And eventually, he knew when to draw the line, you see. And he stood up and he faced them all. And this is what he said, speaking to the king. Sire, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. Now I'm an old man. I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, the mighty God, who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. I, sire, salute you as an old man who loves his Saviour on the edge of eternity. And the whole place fell silent. And King Frederick the Great, with a trembling voice as he struggled to speak, said, General von Zeeland, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. And the party fell silent, and the guests slipped quietly away. Christian believer, there will be times when you have to stand, put your faith into action. You have the promise and the assurance of God's word that heaven's help is deployed on your behalf. You have the promise of the scriptures that you will enjoy God's grace for your faithfulness and your obedience. And, as happened with King Nebuchadnezzar, and as happened 2,000 years later with the King of Prussia, the honour of God was sustained, and the name of God was exalted, and Christ wins the day, and so will you, because you're in him and he's in you. I want to encourage you, Christian believer, you have everything you need to be different. You have every reason you need to be different. So be faithful and enjoy God's blessing.